The following is a recording from Melanie Carpenter from iAdvise on Thursday, May 14, 2015 at 9 a.m. Central. Intercorp Financial Services First Quarter 2015 Conference Call. Good morning and welcome to Intercorp Financial Services First Quarter 2015 Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning, everyone. Today's call, Intercorp Financial Services, will discuss its first quarter 2015 earnings. We are very pleased to have with us Mr. Luis Felipe Castellano, Chief Executive Officer of Intercorp Financial Services, Mrs. Michela Casaza, Chief Financial Officer of Intercorp Financial Services, Mrs. Maria del Carmen Rocha, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer of Interseguro, and Mr. Bruno Ferrecho, Chief Financial Officer of Inteligo. They will be discussing the results that were distributed yesterday. There is also a presentation to accompany these results. If you did not receive a copy of the presentation or the earnings, it is now available on the company's website, ifs.com.pe, to download a copy. Otherwise, for any reason, if you need any assistance today, please call iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693. I would like to remind you that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mrs. Casaza, Intercorp Chief Financial Officer, for her presentation. Mrs. Casaza, please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Intercorp Financial Services first quarter 2015 results. We will start on page number 2 of the presentation with the key highlights. At IFS, the first quarter net profit was $262.9 million, a 95.1% increase year-on-year and a 3.1% decrease quarter-on-quarter. The yearly growth was mainly explained by strong performances at Interbank and Interseguro, while the quarterly decrease was driven by seasonality factors as well as increases in provisions at Interbank and in adjustment of technical reserves at Interseguro. The annualized return on adjusted equity for the first quarter was 23.9% for IFS. At Interbank, the first quarter net profit was $205.2 million, a 29.6% growth year-on-year and a 1.7% decrease quarter-on-quarter. The yearly performance was attributed to increases of 13.2% in net interest and similar income, 83% in other income, and 15% in fee income, factors which were partially offset by a 43.3% growth in provisions. The quarterly performance was negatively impacted by an increase in provisions of 40.6%, mainly due to the combination of two effects. First, a low fourth quarter 2014 in provisions, as the last quarter of the year is normally one of the lowest, especially for credit cards, which represent the highest portion of provisions, due to more amortizations and better collections in December, plus an improvement in the severity rate used for the calculation of provisions under IFRS. Second, a slight deterioration in the asset quality during the first quarter of this year, especially in mortgages, mid-corporates, and small businesses. Performing loans and deposits grew 10.1% and 4.1% respectively year-on-year, while retail deposits increased 15.4% on a yearly basis. NIM improved 33 basis points on a yearly basis to 6.27% in the first quarter, while the efficiency ratio improved 400 basis points to 42.3%. Asset quality remains strong at the bank, with PDL at 2.3% under IFRS. The first quarter annualized return on adjusted equity was 25.5%. At Interseguro, the first quarter net profit was $33.6 million, an increase of $90.7 million year-on-year and a decrease of $19.6 million on a quarterly basis. The yearly growth was explained mainly by an increase of 23.6% in total premiums earned and 44.7% in other income. Annuity sales increased almost 30% on a yearly basis, supported by Interseguro's leadership position in a market that continues to expand. The annualized return on adjusted equity was 23.3%. At Inteligo, the first quarter net profit was $6.1 million, 133.8% increase on a quarterly basis, and a 25% decrease year-on-year. The quarterly increase was mainly due to higher fee income and other income. Net interest and similar income was $14.3 million in the first quarter, a 12% decrease quarter-on-quarter, and a 37% increase year-on-year. The quarterly performance was explained by lower income received from investments compared to the previous year. Asset under management plus deposits increased 6.2% quarter-on-quarter and 21.6% year-on-year. The annualized ROE was 29.1%. On page number 3, you can see a summary of the key quarterly indicators for IFS. Net interest and similar income grows 14.8% year-on-year, mainly driven by strong results at the three operating companies. NIM improved 22 basis points on a yearly basis to 5.91%, with NIM at Interbank reaching 6.27%. NIM on loans for Interbank improved 20 basis points year-on-year, from 8.8% in the first quarter of 2014 to 9% in the first quarter of 2015. Insurance metrics remain very strong, with net premiums growing more than 20% on a yearly basis. The efficiency ratio shows a very strong improvement year-on-year of 740 basis points, down to 38.8% at IFS, and the capitalization ratio for Interbank remains strong at 16.7%. On page 4, you can see the breakdown of IFS quarterly profits by segment. The first quarter net profit was $262.9 million, almost double the same quarter of the previous year. We have very strong performances at the bank and Interseguro on a yearly basis, as well as for Inteligo on a quarterly basis. With this, the annualized ROE was 23.9%. Please turn to the following page for a brief overview of the quarterly net earnings of IFS three segments. We will start with Interbank on page number 6. Interbank net profit reached $205.2 million in the first quarter, a $3.5 million decrease quarter-on-quarter, and a $46.9 million increase year-on-year. The quarterly decrease was mainly due to a $43 million increase in provisions and a $7.3 million decrease in net interest and similar income, factors which were partially offset by a $43.1 million growth in other income, mainly thanks to better spreads in FX transactions and an increase in the forward transaction volumes with clients. The annual growth in net profit was due to a $55.5 million increase in net interest and similar income, and a $57 million growth in other income, which were partially offset by a $45 million increase in provision expense. Interbank's ROE was 25.5% in the first quarter, above the 23.1% registered in the first quarter of the previous year. On page number 7, you can see a comparison with local GAAP results. The main differences between the IFRS net profit of 205 million soles and the local GAAP net profit of 223 million are as follows. First, a reclassification of fees from credit cards from net interest margin to fee income with neutral effect. Second, less fee from an advisory, financial advisory as they are deferred in IFRS. And third, more provisions for loan losses. On page number 8, performing loans grew 4.2% on a quarterly basis as a result of a 3.8% increase in retail loans and a 4.6% growth in commercial loans. Retail loans increased due to growth of 5.1% in credit cards, 4.5% in other consumer loans, and 2.1% in mortgage loans. In credit cards, the first quarter was the 8th consecutive quarter of solid growth, notwithstanding the past due loan ratio in such product declined from 3.6 in the fourth quarter of the previous year to 3.4% in this quarter, and also reduced from the 3.7% registered in the first quarter of 2014. Commercial loans grew in volume, mainly driven by increases of 17.5% in trade finance loans and 4.2% in medium-term loans. On a yearly basis, performing loans grew 10.1%, due to an increase of 17% in retail loans and 3.8% in commercial loans. Retail loans grew, driven by growth of almost 27% in credit cards, 17% in other consumer loans, and 10% in mortgage loans. Commercial loans grew mainly due to increases in medium-term loans within the corporate and middle market businesses. On page number 9, Interbank's funding base grew 6.7% on a quarterly basis, above the growth in interest-earning assets. This was mainly due to increases of 23.5% in due to banks and 4.6% in deposits. The increase in due to banks and interbank funds was driven by higher short and long-term funding from COFIDE and from BCR in soles, while the increase in deposits was explained by increases of 6.6% in institutional deposits, 4.6% in commercial deposits, and 3.0% in retail deposits. On a yearly basis, the bank's total funding base increased 9%. The increase was due to a growth of 43.6% in due to banks and interbank funds, 11% in bonds, and 4.1% in deposits. The yearly growth in due to banks and interbank funds was mainly due, again, to an increase in the utilization of short-term credit lines and long-term funding from COFIDE and BCR in soles, partially offset by a decrease in long-term funding from foreign correspondent banks in dollars. The yearly growth in bonds was mainly explained by a 10% depreciation of the exchange rate during the last 12 months, which originated an increase in the value of bonds issued in dollars. The yearly growth in deposits was attributed to increases of 15.4% in retail deposits, 6.8% in institutional deposits, partially offset by a decrease of 11.6% in commercial deposits. As a result, the proportion of retail deposits to total deposits increased from 38% to 42% on a yearly basis. On page 10, looking at the asset quality, when looking at SBS comparable figures to the system, Interbank's past due loan ratio was 2.3 in the first quarter, 40 basis points above the 1.9 reported in the first quarter of the previous year and 20 basis points below the 2.5% registered in the fourth quarter of the previous year. During the last quarter, we reported a specific client which impacted the ratio during the fourth quarter. Excluding such impact, PDL ratio would have been 2.1% in the fourth quarter of 2014 and 2.2% in the first quarter of this year, showing a 10 basis point deterioration in the quarter, but still below the industry average. Moreover, the coverage ratio, which deteriorated during last quarter to 168% due to the previously mentioned client, has recovered to 186% in the first quarter of this year. The annualized ratio of provision expense to average loans was 2.4% in the first quarter, above the 2.2% registered in the previous quarter and the 1.9% reported in the first quarter of 2014. This ratio is slightly above the system average of 2.3% due to a conservative approach we are pursuing as we continue to constitute procyclical provisions this year, despite the fact that those provisions have been deactivated and, moreover, we have decided to maintain and not release the stock that we currently have. When looking at the PDL breakdown, we can see within retail that overall consumer credit PDL has remained stable at 3% and below the system average of 3.3%. Credit cards continue to improve to 3.6% and below the industry average of 4.1%, while mortgages have deteriorated 30 basis points, while the industry average has deteriorated 10 basis points. Within the commercial portfolio, PDL for the corporate client has deteriorated 10 basis points to 0.4%, while there have been increases in the PDL ratios of both medium and small and micro companies. At the medium corporate client group, there has been a slight deterioration when excluding the effect of the previously mentioned client from 2.5% in the fourth quarter to 2.8% in the first quarter of this year, but continues to be well below the industry average. In the SME client group, where the banks have still a small portfolio and low market share, the increase in PDLs to 6.2% is mainly related to a group of clients with no specific industry concentration, and this ratio continues to be well below the industry average of 8.4%. On page 11, we are including the trend of the de-dollarization of our portfolio of loans of the last 12 months. When compared to the industry, our portfolio is more de-dollarized, with 66% of our portfolio being in soles, versus 60% of the industry as of the third quarter. This is mainly due to two factors. First, we have a higher share of retail loans, which are more solace-based than commercial loans. Second, we have a higher solace-based component in our mortgage portfolio within retail loans. Moreover, we have been able to de-dollarize 5 additional percentage points in the last 12 months versus 4% of the industry. On the deposit side, we have seen roughly a stable trend in terms of dollarization. On page 12, fee income from financial services decreased 7.8 million on a quarterly basis, or 4.3%, but increased by 22.6 million, or 15%, on a yearly basis. The quarterly performance was mainly explained by seasonal factors, with a decrease of 4.1 million in commission from banking services, which was a result of lower fees from insurance premiums sold to Interseguro. The yearly increase in fee income from financial services was mainly attributable to a 10 million increase in commission from banking services, a 10 million increase in fees from the maintenance and mailing of accounts, interchange fees, transfer and credit and debit card services. The increase in commission from banking services was a result of higher insurance premiums sold, while the higher fees from maintenance and mailing accounts was due to higher market share in credit cards. Other expenses increased 12 million on a quarterly basis and 19.5 million on a yearly basis. The quarterly growth was mainly due to an increase in salaries and employee benefits, partially offset by a reduction in administrative expenses and depreciation and amortization. The annual growth in other expenses was a result of increases in administrative expenses, in salaries and employee benefits, and depreciation and amortization, partially offset by a reduction in other expenses. The efficiency ratio was 42.3%, below the 43.7% reported in the previous quarter and the 46.3% registered in the first quarter of the previous year. On page 13, to summarize, Interbank registered a very strong quarter with net profit growing 29.6% on a yearly basis and with a solid annualized high ROE of 25.5%. On page 14, the ratio of regulatory capital to risk-weighted assets was 16.7% in the first quarter, above the 15.2% reported in the previous quarter, and slightly below the 16.8% registered in the first quarter of the previous year. The quarterly increase in the capital ratio was due to an 11.5% growth in regulatory capital, partially offset by a 1.4% increase in risk-weighted assets. As of the first quarter, Interbank's capital ratio of 16.7% was 490 basis points above its risk-adjusted minimum capital ratio requirement, established at 11.8%. The minimum regulatory capital ratio requirement was 10%, while the additional capital requirement for Interbank was 1.8% as of the first quarter. Our core capital ratio stands at around 7.7% as of the first quarter. Please turn to the following page to discuss Interseguro's results. Interseguro's net profit attributable to shareholders in the first quarter was 33.6 million, a 19.6 million decrease quarter on quarter and an increase of 90.7 million on a yearly basis. The quarterly decline in profit was mainly due to a 24.7 million decrease in net gain on valuation of real estate investments reported as other income, and a 19.4 million decrease in total premium earned less claims and benefits, partially offset by an 8 million increase in attributable to non-controlling interest, an 8.2 million increase in net gain of sale of security reported as other income, and a 3.8 million decrease in other expenses. The yearly increase was mainly due to a 76.3 million increase in total premium earned less claims and benefits, and a 10.7 million increase in interest and similar income, driven by the growth in Interseguro's investment portfolio. The annualized ROE for the first quarter was 23.3%, above the negative one reported in the first quarter of the previous year. On page 17, you can see a comparison with local GAAP results. Interseguro's net profit attributable to shareholders in the first quarter was 33.6 million under IFRS and 5.7 million under local GAAP. The main differences between IFRS and the local GAAP net profits are as follows. First, a lower adjustment of technical reserves under IFRS as a result of the use of a higher weighted average discount rate to calculate technical reserves for annuities. Second, a higher net gain on valuation of real estate investment as under IFRS they are considered at fair value. Third, a higher impairment loss on available for sale investments due to a more rigorous impairment policy under IFRS. And fourth, a higher net gain on sale of security as under local GAAP, certain bonds are registered as held to maturity and thus gains on sale are amortized during the life of the bonds. On page 18, net premiums in the first quarter were $204.3 million. A 23.7% increase quarter-on-quarter and a 23.6% increase year-on-year. The quarterly increase was mainly due to a 7.4% market expansion and a 470 basis points market share gain in annuities. The yearly growth was mainly attributable to higher sales in annuities and retail insurance. The yearly increase in annuities was achieved by Interseguro's leadership position in a market that increased 27%. Annuities market share in the first quarter was 27.5%, which positioned Interseguro as the market leader. Adjustment of technical reserves in the first quarter was $156.5 million, a 42.9% increase on a quarterly basis, but a 22.8% decrease year-on-year. The quarterly increase was mainly driven by higher sales, partially offset by the use of a higher average discount rate used to calculate technical reserves for annuities. The yearly decrease is driven by changes in the weighted average discount rates. In the first quarter of 2015, these changes led to a release of technical reserves, whereas in the first quarter of the previous year, they constituted higher technical reserves. Net claims and benefits in the first quarter were almost $60 million, a 24% increase on a quarterly basis and 17.6% increase on a yearly basis. Both the quarterly and the yearly growth were due to an increase in claims related to annuities and retail insurance. By year-end 2014, Interseguro subscribed a two-year contract for disability and survivorship insurance related to the private pension system for the period 2015-2016. Premiums under this contract are totally reinsured. Considering the factors previously explained, total premiums earned less claims and benefits resulted in minus $12 million in the first quarter, a decrease of $19 million quarter on quarter, and an increase of $76 million year on year. On page 19, in the first quarter, Interseguro's investment portfolio reached 4,618 million soles, an increase of 0.8% on a quarterly basis and 18.5% on a yearly basis. Results from investment in the first quarter were $84.2 million, with a 7.3% return on Interseguro's investment portfolio, below the 8.8% reported in the previous quarter, but above the 7.0% reported in the first quarter of 2014. The quarterly decrease was largely explained by a decrease of $24.7 million in valuation gain from investment property, partially offset by an increase of $8.2 million in net gain on sale of security, a decrease of $2.5 million in expenses related to rental income, and a decrease of $2.3 million in impairment loss on available for sale investments. The decrease in valuation gain from investment property was due to real estate appreciation recognized in the fourth quarter of the previous year, driven by both changes in macroeconomic conditions and projects implemented in an underdeveloped area. The increase in net gain on sale of securities was mainly determined by a higher profit on equity and bonds. The yearly increase in other income was mainly explained by an increase of $10.9 million in profit from sale of investment property and $8.5 million increase in net gain on sale of securities, partially offset by a lower rental income of $5.3 million, a $4.9 million decrease in valuation gain from investment property, as well as a $10.7 million increase in net interest of investment for investments available for sale as a result of a 36.5% increase in the average volume of Interseguro investment portfolio. The increase in profit from sale of investments property was due to a loss incurred from the sale of real estate recognized in the first quarter of 2014. The higher net gain on sale of security was explained by higher profits in the sale of equity and bonds. The decrease of rental income was explained by the sale in the third quarter of 2014 of a shopping mall located in the historical center of Lima, east of Peru, that started operations in the third quarter of the last year. On page 22, we will start with a discussion on Inteligo's results. Inteligo's first quarter 2016 performance continued to show strong growth quarter on quarter and year on year on client-related revenues. Interest and similar income declined 12.1% quarter on quarter, mainly driven by lower income received from investments. Client-related interest income grew as a result of a 4.1% quarter on quarter and a 23.7% year on year growth in the size of our loan portfolio. Fee income from financial services grew 18.7% on a quarterly basis and 58.7% on a yearly basis due to higher client activity explained by a mix of growth in asset under management and rebalancing of customer portfolios. Other income grew quarter on quarter but declined year on year. The yearly result was negatively impacted by adverse market conditions that affected our net gain on sale of securities. Other expenses declined 32% quarter on quarter due to the impairment loss on available for sale investments reported in the previous quarter. Year-on-year expenses increased 11%, mainly explained by higher third-party related services. On page 22, asset under management plus deposits reached 11,383.9 million soles in the first quarter, showing a 606.3 million or 6.2% increase on a quarterly basis and a 21.6% increase on a yearly basis. Inteligo's loans portfolio stood at 1,489 million in the first quarter, a 59 million or 4.1% increase quarter on quarter and a 23.7% increase year on year. Revenues generated by Inteligo reached 54 million, a 26% increase quarter on quarter due to, as previously mentioned, strong performance in fee income and other income. However, the year-on-year comparison shows a 15.7% decrease, basically due to negative market conditions in the first quarter this year that made Inteligo's revenue from other income decline. Inteligo Bank's fee income divided by asset under management stood at 1.4% for the first quarter, showing a strong quarter on client-related revenue and above both the quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year figures. Net profit in the first quarter was 36.1 million, a 20.7 million or 133.8% increase on a quarterly basis and a 12 million increase year-on-year, with return on adjusted equity at 29.1%, above the 13.2% registered in the previous quarter, but below the 41% registered in the first quarter of the previous year. To finalize the presentation, on page 24, we conclude that IFS registered a solid first quarter result with strong operating performance in all three segments, with sound asset quality and high profitability levels. At Interbank, 21.5% year-on-year growth in consumer loans and 15.4% year-on-year growth in retail deposits. 2.3% PDL ratio below the system's 2.5%. 400 basis points improvement in the efficiency ratio year-on-year, down to 42.3%. At Interseguro, 23.6% yearly growth in net premiums, market leader in annuities for 6 consecutive years as of the first quarter, 18.5% year-on-year growth on investment portfolio. At Inteligo, asset under management plus deposits increased 6.2% during the quarter and 21.6% year-on-year, and loans grew 4.1% in the quarter and 23.7% year-on-year. We maintain high profitability with 95% yearly growth in net profit at IFS and with an annualized ROE of 23.9% during this first quarter. Now, we welcome any questions you may have.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. We now have our first question from Luis Adame from Newfoundland Capital Management.
Hi, good morning. We're just wondering, we've seen some contradicting signs of just recovery in economic activity in Peru, and consensus growth for this year has been coming down. We're wondering on the demand side for loans, especially on the corporate side, if you're seeing any sort of recovery or if it's still on the slowdown. How are you seeing the level of economic activity right now?
Hello, Luis. In the commercial loan side, actually we see different things depending on the segment. On the corporate clients, we still see a strong activity. Actually, as those clients continue to de-dollarize their loans, now they continue to come to the local bank. So that side of the commercial lending book continues to grow very nicely. On the mid-corporate side, still the growth there is, more than 15% in the market. So still there you see also a nice growth. But what we have seen already for many months in a row is a strong slowdown in SME segment. Okay, actually the system is growing very little, and we at Interbank have stopped growth a little bit as we have seen a deterioration of the portfolio. So if you look at our numbers for that specific segment, it's not growing in the past month.
Great, thank you. And then just in terms of market share, especially on the retail side, to what sector do you attribute your market share gain? And just in general, how has pricing for retail loans and products been, especially on the competition? Have there been any relevant movements in terms of the rates being offered in the market?
Not really. If we look, in terms of total market share for retail loans, we are pretty stable on a quarterly basis. Even if we have lost a little bit of market share in mortgages, okay, where last year we started to see a little bit of deterioration of the portfolio, so we are fine tuning some parts of our underwriting process there. But if you see, for example, credit cards as well as other consumer loans where we have gained market share on a yearly basis, actually there, I don't think it's something related to prices. It's just the strategy that we have been pursuing for the last month of growing those two products.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Our next question comes from Natalia Corfield from JP Morgan.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the question. I have actually two questions. One is on Interbank's NII and the other one on asset quality. With regards to NII, we saw decline in the quarter, 1.5%, at the same time that the loan portfolio is growing. So I'd like to know, what drove this? If you're having some competition, what's driving the yields to be lower in this quarter? And question, go ahead.
No, just go on. I will take note of both questions.
All right. The second question on asset quality, it's about, we saw an improvement of the headline ratio in the quarter, and I'd like to know what happened there, because the previous quarter you were impacted by that situation, that specific situation. This quarter we saw an improvement of the headline number, and I want to see what can you tell us, what can we expect going forward?
Okay. First of all, on NIM, okay, you see that the NIM has a positive development year on year, no, but it has a slight decline on a quarterly basis. Actually, the decline on a quarterly basis is mainly due to two factors. First, that the NIM of the last quarter of the year is normally a peak during the year, and that is impacted specifically by credit cards. Why? Because especially in December, as people receive their additional salary, they repay more credit cards, and this reduces the volumes which were not paid before, so all the income enters into the December number, which increases the rate, okay? So this is number something that you will see every year. But there is a second factor that negatively impacts NIM during this first quarter, which is related to the funds that we are taking in solid from the central bank, okay? Because what we have to do is that we take dollar deposits and we put them in investments with the central bank with very low returns, okay? So this is increasing our interest earning assets, but with very low rates. And actually, this has impacted our NIM in the first quarter around 40 basis points. Okay, and this is something that we will continue to see actually during the year as we continue to access now this type of solid financing or funding from the central bank.
All right.
Yes.
And on second
question related to asset quality. We reported last quarter that we had a specific client, not which caused most of the deterioration that we showed in the portfolio. Actually, the situation on that client has been partially solved, okay? We have already settled down a portion of that debt, and that has created an additional loss of $7 million, which we have registered in the first quarter of this year. Okay, so one of the part of that claim, which was maple gas and ethanol, it's closed. What we still have on exposure is a portion on the gas company, where we still have a $10 million loan, but which is a client that currently is in a normal, let's say, situation in the as for loans is concerned.
Hi, it's Luis Felipe. So what happened relating to the actual number is it increased in the last quarter of last year because we saw the situation. It has come down in the first quarter of this year. No, so that's what is happening with the headline.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the question.
Thank you. Again, if anyone would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phones now. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. At this time, I'm showing no further questions in the queue. I'd now like to turn the call back over to IFS Management for closing remarks.
Okay, thank you very much, everybody, for joining the call, and we will see you again during the next quarter.